We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. I always remember now, this is prophecy. This is before the coming of the Lord Jesus, before he was born in Bethlehem, before he went to the cross, and before he rode into Jerusalem on the donkey. Here it was prophesied by Zechariah that this is what was going to happen. Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, which we know is Jesus. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt the foal of an ass. Now, I want to preach, as I said, using this one verse here as a text verse, just that little phrase in that ninth verse there, and use this, that is the text too. The king is coming. Now, the king is coming is what I want to think upon tonight. Now, today, as I've already said, is Palm Sunday, and we're all very aware of this. This is the day when Christian people around the world commemorates the triumphal entry into of the Lord Jesus up into Jerusalem. And so it was on that remarkable day that Jesus was both praised by his disciples, and not only was he praised by his disciples, but he was rejected by the very people that he had come to save. And for it was on that day that Jesus presented himself to Israel as their promised Messiah and as their promised King. And it was on this day that they refused to believe on him. They refused to accept Jesus as their king. They rejected him. So in less than a week now, the very people who should have welcomed their king saw to it that he was crucified. And so tonight, I want to preach on the thought about the king is coming. And I want to point out a few aspects of his coming. And so let's just take this time and look at three special passages, and we'll share those with you, of scripture that talks about the coming of the king. Now the first one that I want to talk about is just what I've already said. Zechariah 9:9, the prophecy of the coming king. That's the first thing that I want to see here is the prophecy of the coming king. Now, when Zechariah penned these words down, Jerusalem was still in ruins. It had been destroyed by the Babylonians in about 586 B.C. And so it's now, whenever Zechariah penned this, it's about 520 B.C., and a few Jews had returned to the devastated city and having begun the process of rebuilding the city and rebuilding the temple of God. But Zechariah does not focus on the tragedy of the broken city. Now, he could have had. He could have, because the city was laying in ruins. But what did he do? But Zechariah, here what he does, he looks down through the telescope of time and sees a day when Jerusalem will be visited by the King of Kings and by the Lord of Lords. And so the prophet sees the day when the Messiah will come and Jerusalem will be filled with his glory. Now here, I want you to notice these three elements of Zechariah's prophecy regarding the coming king. And the first one I want you to see is that this is a powerful prophecy. He is just and having salvation, it says. He is just and having salvation. Now, Zechariah writes to tell the people that the most anticipated event in human history is going to come to pass in Jerusalem. And even every sin that Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, men had been hopeful and they were looking by faith to a day when the Redeemer would come and pay man's sin debt. We all know what was prophesied there in Genesis 3:15. Where that the seed of man would bruise the head of the serpent. And so they've been looking for that for thousands of years. Men had been approaching altars, and they'd been coming and bringing with them the bloods of animals. And what did that do? It did not take away sin, but what that did was it only covered their sin, looking to a day when a Redeemer would come to take away their sins forever. Now, Zechariah tells them that the one who is coming will do more than cover their sin. But he said that he will save his people from their sins. Aren't you glad of that tonight? Aren't you glad that he done more than just cover our sin, but he's just taken away our sins just as if we had never sinned? That's what justified means. We've been justified by his blood. That means that when the blood is applied by faith, that it's just like we've never sinned before. So that was the promise of the angel who announced the birth of the Lord Jesus. And to Joseph, you look over to Matthew 1:21, this is what the angel said. And she, referring to Mary, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And then there was the pronouncement by John the Baptist, and John the Baptist said in John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Now, and that was just what Jesus did when he came to this world. He took away the sins of the world. He went to the cross, and he did what millions of gallons of animal blood had not been able to do. He paid the entire debt of sin that was owed by mankind. That's what Jesus did when he went to the cross, that all those gallons of blood of animals could never do. But when Jesus went to the cross and there shed his blood, he paid the debt of sin that mankind owned. So this was a precise prophecy. Now Zechariah told his readers exactly how they would be able to recognize this king when he came to them. Now, how was it? What is going to be the sign? How are you going to recognize him? He would come to them riding upon a colt of an ass. And Daniel, in his book, and we'll look at this here tonight, I hope you don't mind a little prophecy. Daniel, in his book, if you want to flip over there right now, in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24 through verse 27, he adds to this prophecy, to these verses, God's plan for the nation of Israel. And it's on display. And God will finish his work with Israel during this 70-week period that Daniel talks about here over in Daniel, as I said, 9, 24 through 27. Let me read this. 70 weeks. Now, look at that word weeks there. And we know the word weeks means unit of seven. In other words, that's why that we call 7 days, that's why we call it a week, is because the word week means a unit of seven. No matter what it is, don't have to be days. It's just a unit of seven. So 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city. We know the holy city is Jerusalem, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sin and make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy, and know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem upon unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks. Now 7 weeks. We said then that a week is a unit of seven, and if it was seven of those weeks, that would be 49. And if we're talking about years, that would be 49 years. He said unto, it's going to be, he said there, and it would be unto the Messiah, Prince, shall be 7 weeks, or 49 years. And 62 weeks, the streets shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome time. And after 62 weeks, and we know that would be 64, that is, a score is 20, so that would be 60, at 62 weeks. Shall Messiah be cut off. And the word cut off means killed or crucified. That's simply what that means there. But not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and to the end of the war desolation are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. 1 week is 7 years. He's going to make a covenant. We all understand this, and we'll talk about that just a little bit more. In the midst of the week means in the middle. In other words, what it says is that the Antichrist is going to make a covenant. Everything's going to go on real smooth for 3.5 years. And then after 3.5 years, he's going to break that covenant. He shall come the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consumption, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now look at that there. We see here this prophecy. These verses is God's plan for the nation of Israel. Now don't you ever believe that God has turned his back on Israel. Israel is still God's nation, God's chosen people. God is not blind. God is not through with Israel. He's only blinded their eyes for a season in order that the Gentiles, which is you and I, might be drafted in. And so here, God will finish his work during those 70 weeks. Now, these weeks of years and not days. Daniel 9:27. There is, so if you got 70 weeks, and there's 70 there, and a week is a unit of seven, so you got 70 times seven. If my arithmetic is right, that would be 490 years. 70 times seven. 70 weeks, a week is a unit of seven. Multiply the 70 by seven, and you got 490 years. And so that is the time there. There's a 490 year period. And here is how that breaks down. They will begin, these 490 years will begin with the order to rebuild Jerusalem. Now, and we know that that was fulfilled. If you look over Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 6, you all know the story. That Nehemiah was there in the foreign country under Araxes, and he'd heard about the city of Jerusalem being torn down, the gates had been burned, the temple had been destroyed, everything was in ruins, and he was sad, and Araxes the king said, "Why is your countenance so sad? What's wrong?" And he says this right here in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 6. And this is Nehemiah saying, "I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchre, that I may rebuild it." Now you see here, that was the order to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, and it was fulfilled there in Nehemiah chapter 2. And the next phrase comes it covers 69 years. And it's broken down into two portions. Now, I pointed that out when I read that scripture. It's broken down. It took 7 weeks of years or 49 years to rebuild Jerusalem. That's how long it took. It took 49 years to rebuild Jerusalem. And then it's taken literally these 483 years leading up to the coming of the Messiah. And that would equal 173,880 days. Now, and so bringing that, that would be ending on Sunday, April the 6th, 32 AD. On the very exact day Jesus entered Jerusalem on that donkey. How about that? Wonder how in the world that Zechariah or Daniel got it for the very precise minute that Jesus came. And after Messiah comes, there are several prophetic events that will take place. The Messiah will be cut off. And that means the crucifixion. That Jesus will die. And that's what it means until the Messiah is cut off. And this is why the Jews refused him, and they still do. Why is it? It's because in 1 Corinthians 1:23, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. In other words, we said right here that to the Jews they refused him because of the crucifixion. They just could not comprehend how, if that was their king, if that was their deliverer, if that was their Messiah, how could he go to be taken and laid on a cross and crucified on a cross? So that's why they rejected him. That wasn't the kind of Messiah they was looking for. They was looking for a Messiah, a powerful military ruler to come and rescue them from Roman oppression. And so here they still do. And this was hidden from the Jews. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and to suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. Now here it was hidden from the Jews. They didn't understand this. And notice he didn't go there for himself. Jesus didn't go there because the Bible simply says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he has made himself to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we know that Jesus wasn't crucified for his own sins because he was perfect. But Jesus took our sins upon him and became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness in him. And so here, Jerusalem will again be destroyed. Now if you'll look in Matthew 24, 1 through 2, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be torn down. Now I said that Jerusalem would be there. And when did this happen? When did Matthew chapter 24 and verse 2, when did that happen? We know that that was fulfilled in 70 AD by Titus, the Roman general, destroyed the temple. And so we know that there is going to be a great war that will engulf Israel. Now, if you Bible students, Ezekiel 38 and 39, we understand by reading that Russia and her allies will invade Israel one of these days. Now, it's no coincidence that Russia is so much in the news today. It's no coincidence. You remember back during the Cold War in those times, they said Russia is through. They're not going to be no world player anymore. They're not going to be that. They're going to be, and this scripture here, that can't be true. But I remember what old Mays Jackson said, that Russia is not our friend. Russia is still going to be a player in the end time prophecy. And so they're going to invade Israel. We see here then, and I want you to look at this, 69 weeks, and I can't calculate it up here, but I think I can. 69 weeks times 7 is 463 years. Is that right? 463 years, or 83 years. Which one is it? But anyway, the prophecy has been literally fulfilled. 7 times 7 is 490. So yes, it is 483 years. So we can figure it out. So 483 years of that 70 weeks of Daniel has already been fulfilled. Those things have already been fulfilled. There's only 1 week that's left of that prophecy. And that 1 week is 7 years. Now you say, what? Well, what's going on right now? Well, from the time that the Messiah was cut off, Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. As far as Israel's prophecy was concerned, we know their eyes was blinded. And now at the cross, when Jesus died, the age of grace started. That's what we're living in today. Is that not right? We're living in the age of grace right now. We're living in the time where whosoever will shall call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. Whether he's a Gentile or whether he's a Jew, they all have to be saved the same way. It's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing that he died on the cross. And they are saved Jews, by the way, that have got saved. And so right now, God is not dealing with Israel as a nation. He'll deal with them individually just like he does with us. But he's not dealing with Israel as a nation right now. Their eyes have been blinded until the age of grace is over and Jesus comes. And I know all you Bible students know this, that you've all heard about the 7 years of tribulation. That's the 1 week. That's when God begins to deal with Israel again as a nation, is when during that tribulation period. Now you listen to what this preacher saying here, that the king is coming. Now that brings, that's 490 years. 483 of it has already been fulfilled. It's already happened. From the time the city of Jerusalem was rebuilt until the cutting off of the Messiah was 483 years. 7 years are left. We know it as the tribulation period. And so we also know this. I think the church is going to be here, and we'll see it begin as far as some of the things that's going to happen. But I believe with all my heart that I'm a premillennialist, and I believe that we're going to the church will be taken out before all this happens here. So what does this mean? Jesus the King came exactly as the Old Testament said he would. Is that not right? He came exactly like the Old Testament said that he would. 500 and 600 years before, he came exactly like he said. He came at the very exact moment that the Old Testament had said he would. He fulfilled that prophecy to the letter. And so here, this next is a personal prophecy. The king cometh unto thee. Zechariah, he tells his readers that this coming king was coming, he was coming for individuals. In other words, individuals was on his heart and was on his mind, was in his ministry. Aren't you glad? Yes, Jesus is the Savior of the whole world. But aren't you glad that he deals with individuals? That he deals one-on-one? That's how he dealt with me when I got saved. He came to me one-on-one and spoke to my heart and convicted me of my sin and showed me my need of a Savior. And I got saved. Jesus' ministry is about individuals. It's about one-on-one. And so I want you to notice this here, that the Bible said, for God so loved the world that whosoever, see, that's individual. That means it's not just for the rich people, the poor people, the black people, the white people, the red people, the Hispanic or the Oriental. It's for whosoever, no matter what class they fall under, whosoever shall be saved. And Jesus is seen looking over in that parable in Luke chapter 15. There was one sheep was lost. 99 was still safe in the fold. What did Jesus do in that parable? He went out looking for that one lost sheep. There was some silver that was lost. What did they do representing? Looking, swept the house for that one piece of silver. And then the son. One of the sons had went off into a far country. And then he went looking for him. So he came for you. That's what I want you to see tonight. That's what I want me to see. Is that Jesus, yes, he came for the whole world, but he came for you individually. He came for you personally.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at UnionTempleFWB.org.